Oh, Lord, last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68, and he told me all romantics meet the same fate someday. Cynical and drunk and boring someone in some dark cafe. You laugh, he said, you think you're immune. Go look at your eyes, they're full of moon. You like roses and kisses and pretty men to tell you all those pretty lies, pretty lies. When you're gonna realize they're only pretty lies, only pretty lies, just pretty lies. You put a quarter in the Wurlitzer, and he pushed three buttons and the thing began to whir. And a barmaid came by in fishnet stockings and a bow tie, and she said, drink up now, it's getting on time to close. Richard, you haven't really changed, I said, it's just that now you're romanticizing some pain that's in your head. You got tombs in your eyes, but the songs you punched are dreaming. Listen, they sing a love so sweet, love so sweet. When you're gonna get yourself back on your feet? Oh, love can be so sweet, love so sweet. Richard got married to a figure skater, and he bought her a dishwasher and a coffee percolator, and he drinks at home now most nights with a TV on and all the house lights left upright. I'm gonna blow this damn candle out. I don't want nobody coming over to my table. I've got nothing to talk to anybody about. All good dreamers pass this way someday, hiding behind bottles in dark cafes, dark cafes. Only a dark cocoon before I get my gorgeous wings and fly away. Only a face, these dark cafe
nothing there. In Search of Mythical Kings and Iguanas, from the album of the same name by Dori Previn, who, if you don't know her, is she's a lot more than just Andre Previn's former wife. She's a great songwriter. Before that, You Left It Up to Me by the Indigo Girls, a band I'm particularly fond of lately, from their album Strange Fire. And before that, Last Time I Saw Richard by Joni Mitchell from her album Blue. Before that, Fantasy by June and Jean Millington, the Millington sisters, who were the founders of a band called Fanny Hill, which I've played here before. That was from their solo album, Ladies on the Stage. This is WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York City. And my name is Sharon Griffiths. The name of the show is Heresy. And good morning, New York, at 5:20 on another, yet again, ridiculously hot day. It's so hot it's scary. It really is. And I know this is a very sleazy way of getting new members of a listening audience, but I can understand that maybe tonight there are more people listening than usual just because you can't sleep. It's very, very hard to sleep. I was thinking about my old neighborhood. I was born and raised, brought up in an area of Manhattan that really has no designation. You know how, like 34th Street on the east side is called Murray Hill, and then there's Kipps Bay, which is also over there, and Chelsea is in the 20s and the teens on the west side, and the East Village is the East Village and the West Village is the West Village. My neighborhood had really no designation. It was on the wrong side of Broadway to be called the Upper West Side. It was one block off of Central Park West and 103rd Street, which is where I grew up. Nobody knows about this particular neighborhood because you can't really call it anything. But in that old neighborhood, we had a lot of typical five-story walk-up tenement row house type buildings with the fire escapes out front and the stoops and everything. And on nights such as this, I remember fondly, because it annoyed my parents no end, but I remember it kind of fondly because it was exciting. Most of the people who lived in those kind of buildings, as I myself did later, had no air conditioning, and because there was just wasn't enough electricity in each of the apartments to support it. And you'd keep blowing out your electricity if you got an air conditioner and started to run it. They'd be out on the street all night. And most of these people were Hispanic, Cuban and Puerto Rican, mostly. And it would be sort of a festival atmosphere. It was just really very lively and nice. They'd bring out percussion instruments, and they'd bring out radios. They'd bring out bridge tables and set them up and play dominoes, the older people would. That seemed to be a big favorite with them. And just hang out on the street all night long, and you'd be hearing music and talking, and it was just kind of a street party. And now, living in a little town in New Jersey where this thing does not happen, the closest you come to it is we have a stoplight down on the corner from where I live, and the closest you come to life in the street is when someone stops for that stoplight with a radio on very, very loud, and you hear it for the duration of the light, and then you hear it fading away. So I kind of miss the involvement. Of course, this is a long, long time ago when people tended to live together a little more peacefully. Nowadays, I don't know. I worry about tempers flaring and violence occurring during these heat spells, which is another thing I wanted to bring up. It occurred to me tonight. I happen to be in an unreasonably decent mood. Normally, temperatures above 85 will really tick me off, and I'll be walking around snapping and growling and generally behaving like a naughty beast. But I'm just in an unreasonably good mood for whatever reason. I'm just as hot as everybody else, and I'm just as miserable, and I my clothes feel just as disgusting, and my hair and my face and everything. But I don't know, something is going on that's surpassing all of that. Maybe it's the vitamins. I don't understand. But anyway, what I did think about tonight, even though it is not happening in my particular household, is that people may indeed be snapping and barking and growling at their mates and at their supervisors at work, and also at the people who work with them, for them, and under them. And I especially would advise partners, mates, husbands, wives, lovers, whatever, not to take things too seriously when your significant other comes in and you know, starts like snapping and growling and barking. If they start hitting, that's a very different problem, but the snapping and barking and growling, just be tolerant. It is probably due to heat, and I hearken back to a time almost 3 years ago when I left a mate, not the present mate, and it was at the end of July, the beginning of August, and it was during a terrible heat wave, and I'm not convinced that the heat had nothing to do with it. In other words, it might indeed have had something to do with why I left at that particular time. So just try and be as nice as possible. I feel like that wonderful old Warner Brothers cartoon where Elmer Fudd doesn't look anything like he does today with the big bald head and the oversized hunting cap and all that. He looked more like Wimpy from Popeye, and he had a totally different voice. We're talking about a Bob Clampett cartoon from about 1936 or something, and he is a professional peacemaker, and he rides right through the middle of the typical Hatfield-McCoy, although that's not their names, feud in the Ozarks or the Appalachians, and he comes in with his little motor scooter, and he stops right in the middle of all the gunfire and just sort of stands there and says, "Friends, let there be peace." And then they shoot the living hell out of him. But that's sort of what I feel like tonight. I'm sort of preaching peace and tolerance as the temperatures climb. And hopefully no one's going to open fire on me while I'm sitting in here. But that's a good thing to remember, because there's really no relief in sight. I hate to tell you this, but there really isn't. And that's all I can say, and that's all I can do. Last week on this show, on these very airwaves, you heard me. For the months of July and August, my four shows in July and August, I am reading fairy tales with a feminist twist or insight or viewpoint. And last week I read two, well actually I read three, but the two that worked together, they were a pair, was one by Joanna Russ, who I'm a big fan of, called Rusalka or the Seacoast of Bohemia, and the other one was by Jane Yolen, I'm also a fan of hers, called The Lady and the Merman. And they were about, one was about a mermaid and a human man, and the other was about a merman and a human woman, and about the two different views of how the sea folk and the land folk cannot quite make it together in any real way. And today I got my new volume, my new issue of Ms. Magazine, volume 2, number 1. It's their first anniversary issue. And being a subscriber, I get it well before the newsstands do. Not that many newsstands carry Ms. Magazine. But, so I'm poring through it as I normally do. I do a quick speed read through the whole thing, and then I go back and spend time on each of the articles instead of doing the slow cover-to-cover routine, because there's just too much in here. This is the most wonderful magazine. I urge people, men, women, dogs, cats, whatever, to go out and get a hold of this magazine somehow. And once you get one copy off of the newsstand, there is always a subscription form in it, so you only have to find it once. There's limited distribution, probably because of the expense. Ms. is now advertisement-free, totally devoid of advertisement, and Robin Morgan made that decision because the old Ms., the glossy Ms. magazine, used to get into terrible trouble from both sides.